It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. We'll stay on that verse. If you could pull that back up, Brother Ethan. I think it's so powerful because God's kingdom is supernatural and the world we live in is natural. You see, in the natural world, fruit only happens in a season. Fruit only happens during one period of life. But God talks about a people who will never fail to bear fruit. In the hard times, they'll bear fruit. During the drought, we're going to bear fruit. When I don't feel like it, when church seems to be when my family life seems to be chaotic, when everything seems to be falling apart, we're called to never fail to bring forth fruit. Even in a year of drought. Anyone ever been through a season of drought? Sometimes it just happens. Sometimes we bring it on ourselves. But I think sometimes God withholds himself being as physical, as a parent, just to see, what will my child do? What will my child do when all they have is trust? What will Job do when all he has is trust? God's will is for us to always bear fruit. Bearing fruit comes from a mature plant opening up. I don't know about you, but I found it mesmerizing to watch these different types of flowers open up. There's something that happens in their core, and they look so different. They look so sad. And you can go back to the title slide. It almost looks sad to see it all. I mean, look at that little guy. Look. The poor dude is sad. Look at him. He's happy. To be opened up, to have its petals out. God's will is for us to be opened up. Bearing fruit. You can't bear fruit in this stage. The bees can't get into the center in this stage of being closed up. But it's only as we begin to open, only as the flower begins to open up, that reproduction can begin to happen. You see, the key to bearing fruit is to be open. There's no way around it. The key to bearing fruit is to be open, open with God, open with each other in ways that sometimes we are closed off. How comfortable is it to be in a family, in a household, where each member in particular, each family member is closed off? Isn't that an uncomfortable feeling? To be in a household where everybody is closed off with one another. But I don't know, I love family gatherings where we get together and we can be vulnerable. We're laughing and cackling in ways that are embarrassing. We were at our own little dinner at our beach house, and we had the youngins up and Denny up, and they were just hee-haw and slap happy as all get out. And there was no closing off. There was no, oh, I'm weird. They were just being themselves, and they were weird. It was disturbing. But when you can open up and when you can be vulnerable, that is where growth happens. And my God, each one of us, we need to examine ourselves. Am I being open with the church? Because we can become emotionally closed off. It is easy to become emotionally closed off with this wonderful group of people, where we fade in and fade out, in and out. But at the root of what we are a family. And families that grow are families that are open with one another. Sometimes we are stuck in growth. Like this little guy right here. He's not quite where he was, but he's not quite there yet. He's somewhere in between. He's stuck at a stage of growth. And spiritually, we can all get that way sometimes. Stuck in a certain stage of growth. Because, I want you to think about this, because you can get really hard on yourself when you think about growing yourself spiritually, but you've come a long way since you were saved. I think you ought to remember that. Is that not the absolute stinking truth? You've come a long way. Each one of you have come, each one of me has come a long way since we were saved. And it's kind of like our kids as we begin to track. Oh, 1 year old, 2 years old, 3 years old, 4, 5, 6. Sometimes little boys or little girls hit a crazy growth spurt and it's like 7, 8, you know, or, you know, boys sometimes hit a little bit later. So, you know, 14, 15, they hit this humongous spurt. And in these early years, there's so much visible growth. It's obvious. You grew a foot in a year, dude. You made me have to go out and get clothes like 3 times this year. But when you go from 35 to 36, right, it's more of a width thing. As you go from 47 to 48, the growth might not be as apparent. It might not be as obvious. It might not be as obvious to everybody watching, but growth is still needed. So, first question, to blossom means to flourish or develop. One last definition. To blossom means to open. To blossom means, would you like flourish and to develop be words that God would characterize your walk with Him? I think that would be awesome for God to say, Sister Camille is flourishing. Gideon or Gabriel, Sister Camille is flourishing right now. Archangel Michael, Julia is flourishing right now. She is developing. But you see, doesn't that almost sound goofy? Why? Why? And we think sometimes that growth should stop. But if we can say it about our kids, why can't God say it about His? I see my kids' mistakes. My goodness, do I? Our wooden spoon grows thin. He's flourishing. If you are going to blossom, you have to open up, just like those flowers. But for one reason or another, so many of us have gone through periods where we have closed up. Now let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 17. Okay. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. I'm going to give you a little key here. Context. Okay. Verse 8. That is the context for verse 8. They, the church, will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bring forth fruit, to bear fruit. So here's a question for you. Where are the tree's roots? According to the verse, where are the roots? Well, they're by the stream, right? That's no trick question. Here's the real question. Who's in control of the roots? The tree. It's the tree that chooses where its roots go. Even though it's planted by the water, it's the tree that chooses where its roots go. Anybody know what I'm talking about? God can plant you in a good place, but you're the only one that can choose where your roots go. God can put you in a good church. God can put you in a good family. God can allow you to walk and to live in answered prayer after answered prayer. But you're the only one who can choose where your roots go. Too often God plants us into good soil by a raging stream, but our roots are still in dry places. God can plant us in the summer, but our roots are stuck in the winter. We are the only ones that can choose, my God, I am so close to this thing. This thing has been so powerful. And I'm not just talking about Sundays, but Mondays through Saturday, this church has been on the move. I am closer to what I wanted to be a part of all my life than I ever have been. But I'm the only one that chooses where my roots go. Let us never forget, as for me and then my house, I will serve the Lord. It's in that order. It's not as for my house and me, but it's me and my house in that order. My house does not choose whether or not I serve the Lord. It's for me. It's for me. I've got to make a decision. Amen. You are the only one in control of your roots. It doesn't matter if you are a man or a woman, a child or an elderly person, someone up here or someone down here. No one can tell you where your roots go. But my God, I want my roots planted by the living water. Hallelujah, because I want growth. Growth requires change for all of us keeping up. Growth requires change. The only thing you can count on in life is change. And I would love everyone who's able to keep up with this if you want to grow. Because this is for every individual person to check ourselves. Amen? Because I'm counting on you. The future of the field is counting on you to blossom. I need you to blossom. My children, my God, my children need you to blossom. Judah and Ellie are growing up, and I want them in a church that's blossoming. Those who will not change will not grow. That's difficult. Because how many of us would say, I don't like change? Change is necessary for growth. There's no way about it. Because growth is change. Think about it. At what it is, growth is from being something to being something different. To being something different again. To being something different. It's change, it's change, it's change. And as Todd Bolsinger in my favorite leadership book wrote, and he quoted this, in this world that we live in, it's adapt or die. It's change or die. It's grow or fall away. Amen? There is no stagnation, but I'm still going to be okay. Or just barely hanging on, but I'm going to be all right. It is grow or die when it comes to the kingdom of God. So here is our question. I want each one of us to evaluate ourselves. Would you, this requires every individual participation, would you say that you have grown spiritually in the last year? Look down at your papers. How? As I would tell our youth students, because I just tiptoe and dance around the point, it's going to take English words. English words. Write them, use the pen, put it on the paper, English words. They know me. Because when I ask for an answer to a question, it's speak English words, please. So, English words. How would you say that you've grown spiritually in the last year? How, specifically? And this is so not something to beat yourself up with. It's just something to be honest with yourself. Seriously. It's kind of like going to the doctor. When they tell you the truth and you don't really like it, but you know you need to hear it, do you stop going? And say, well, to heck with it, I don't really care. I'll just die. That's healthy. But when you care about your health, and more importantly, when you care about your kids, when you care about those who are looking up to you, your health matters a whole lot more because somebody's counting on you. I'm here to tell you that a church is counting on you to blossom. New converts are counting on you to blossom. Amen. The presence of God in this place is counting on you to blossom and therefore to change. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14 explains it like this. So that we may no longer be children. Amen. How long can we be children in the kingdom of God? For a season. But then the season passes. How does Paul describe children? Tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. So how does Paul describe children? Unstable. Unable to keep their footing. But rather, speaking the truth in love, we are what? To grow up. In what? Every way. Into him who is the head, into Christ. Why? Because the whole body is joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. And when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You know what stands out to me? Each part working properly. There are no exceptions. My goodness, I want my elbow to be working. I want my knees to be working. I want my earlobes to be working. I want every part of my body to be working properly. Why? Because it works better that way. And I got more things to worry about than just taking care of my health 24/7. Amen? But when problems arise, we have to take care of it because God has more things to worry about than just us falling to pieces 24/7. Hard as that may be to think about, God, the harvest is waiting. The harvest is white and ready. Amen? Amen, Brother Mark. So we are going to examine four areas of growth. This is just the introductory. We are going to look specifically at our personal walk with God, with our relationships with others, specifically with our family members. Is that important? Yes, my God. Change any one of us that is different here than we are in our homes. As someone would say, that goes over about as well as a lead balloon, but it's the truth anyhow. Change any one of us, God, that is different here among these people than we are among those who are most important in our lives, our family members that God has given us. Or as Pastor Paymer would call it, before he passed away, your first mission field, your family. So your relationships with your family, we're going to talk about our time here at church, and finally, discipleship. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate yourself in these four areas? If you got to make little cups with your hands, if you want folders in order to create walls so no one sees, I don't have those. But honestly, if you think you'll do it later, you have more faith in yourself than I for my own. Do it now. How would you rate yourself in these four areas? Your personal walk with God, your relationships, church, discipleship. Pastor and I have talked about this. We're not at tens. Are you kidding me? I am so far from my walk with God than I want to be. I am so far from discipleship than I want to be. Are you kidding me? But you got to start somewhere, and you got to be honest with yourself. If you want to grow, we have to start somewhere. So, feel free to make eye contact with me again when you have rated yourself in these four very important areas. Why? Because Jesus said it. We're supposed to grow in every way. And to me, I don't know, maybe I'm just old-fashioned, which is silly for me to say, but it's just as important as Acts 2:38, to grow in God. My God, I don't want to be stuck as a spiritual child until the day he calls me home. Amen? Because being a kid is cool, and we all talk about, oh, I'd love to go back to being a kid. But really, the joys are not as deep as when you're a kid. The valleys, yeah, they might be worse when you're an adult, but the highs are a whole lot better when you're an adult. Because there's nothing like pouring into somebody. There's nothing like seeing your own kid grow up. There's nothing like seeing your own babies born. You don't get that when you're 2 years old. As cool as everything is, it's kind of shallow. So, everyone good? You rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10? The goal of this series is that we would all together move forward. I don't expect we're all going to get to a 10, but my goodness, if you're a 7, let's shoot for 8. If you're at a 3, it's okay. I've probably been a 1 or a negative 4. Let's keep on moving forward. Amen? Amen. Why waste the day that God has given you? Amen? The goal is to get unstuck, to blossom, and ultimately to bring forth fruit, to bring forth new life into this place. Amen. That should be each one of our individual goal is, my God, I want to replicate. Amen. Is that each one of our goal? I want to replicate. God, I want to bring someone personally from me, not the pastor brought, not the Hannah brought, not the Julie brought, but me. I was the one, not proud about me, because my God, I got stuff going on, but I brought them. Each one of us needs to have that goal that we brought someone to this thing. Amen. As pastor has said, I'll quote him, not me. You're going to be required of it to say that you did something with your talent. Amen. That we didn't hide it in the ground and just wait until the trumpet blows. Luke chapter 8 and verse 14. I will try with due diligence to wrap it up. Luke 8 and verse 14. All right. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. They do not mature. So what does that mean? They start to grow, but they get stuck. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Now, question time, answer time, keep you all awake. What strikes you as interesting about the seed who is choked with thorns? Anything interesting from that passage? Anything that God shows you, anything that you're looking at and you're like, wow, that's really telling about the human condition, about the seed. It brings no fruit, right? It just exists in the field. It kind of hangs out with the field. It rejoices when the rest of the field brings forth fruit, but it itself doesn't mature. It doesn't bring forth fruit. Anybody else? Right. Right. Amen. It kills it. It might take a while, and it might look good for a little time, but it dies. Anybody else? And busyness, just like it says there, they go on their way. We've had a lot of people. I mean, think about it. It's 2020. We've had a lot of people who took this word, were blessed and went on their way. Right? They physically go on their way. But my God, help me from ever being a person that takes this word and I keep showing up, but mentally I go on my way. I'm not doing anything with it. I just go on my way. Amen? So what strikes you as interesting about the seed on good soil? First of all, I'll just hasten along. They are of a noble and good heart. That is the core. That is where it begins. When God is looking and he sees a plant, when he sees you bearing fruit, you know what he sees? A noble and good heart. A noble and good heart will bring forth fruit. But it's a hardened heart that will get stuck. A hardened heart that will continue to put its root into dry soil and saying, God, why am I so unfortunate? I'm never growing. There's never anything happening. Weeds keep growing up and our roots get further and further into dry soil. But it's a good heart that says, you know what? What I'm doing right now isn't working. That's humility. That's change. You know how often I'm there? Like all the time. What I'm doing right now, not working. It's time to stop going in the wrong direction and try something different. Amen? They hear the word. They retain it. And what's the last bit? They persevering produce a crop. To me, that says it all. Because I want it and I want it now. But the good seed, but the good little tree keeps on persevering until, you know what? I'm not seeing it, but I'm not giving up. I'm not feeling it, but I'm not giving up. They're having their breakthrough and it seems like God has forgotten about me, but I'm not giving up because I know that this word works. I know that if I will trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not into my own understanding, that he will direct my path. I know that the living water works, and so I'll keep putting roots into what works, even though it seems like dryness and like nothing is working out. I will not stop. I won't quit until I grow. To grow requires awareness, intentional action, and finally, consistency. Those are all three little spots in our worksheet. Awareness, intentional what? Action. Originally, until today, I only had intentionality on there. But you know what? Like I told Hannah and like I've said from here before, the road to hell is what? Paved with what? Good intentions. What does that mean? Good intentions get you nowhere good. Not until they're paired with good action. And finally, consistency. And I want you to draw an arrow from consistency back to awareness. Because sometimes we try to create change in our lives. And this is going to be a practical series. I'm not going to try to dive off into great theology. We're going to try to enact some change in my life. Let's say with discipleship. I try something different. I'm trying to be consistent. But I'm consistently doing something that's not effective. Anyone ever been there? Yeah. All the time. Consistent, that's where you go back to awareness. Red flag, is what I'm doing working? So that's something we can look back at all the things that we've rated ourselves. Our personal walk with God, discipleship, our relationship with our family members and our time in church. Is what you're doing working? practical level, my prayer life, I've done some dumb stuff. Right? I've already talked about laying down, trying to pray all the time at, you know, 5 a.m. At some point, I had to ask myself, is this working? Answer, negative, Ghost Rider. Not working. So we need to evaluate ourselves in every area. Is what I'm doing, is what I'm trying for discipleship, is it working? Seriously. And sometimes it doesn't look like it's working. Why don't you talk to somebody? Because they might say, just keep trying, doing the same thing. God will provide the increase. But sometimes it's like, dude, I've been there. I feel blessed. I can tell people I've fell in that pothole about 100 times. Drive a different street. Try a different street. You keep falling to the same pothole. Try something different. Amen? Amen. Finally, can someone emphatically read this quote from someone named Frank Outlaw? I don't have it with me. Somebody, just let your voice ring out.
Watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny.
Anybody have any thoughts on that? How telling is that?
That's the definition of insanity.
Yep, the same thing. Over and over and over, and expecting different results. And seriously, look at that. We can get caught up at any point in this journey, thoughts, actions, habits, character, and wonder something like, why do I have this bad habit? Trace it backwards. What actions am I performing daily? And then finally, what's above that? What are my words? Hello. What's above that? What's my thought life like? Amen. And so this is something we're going to evaluate when it comes to walking with God, your prayer walk, you know, your time with God, discipleship, relationships. What are our thoughts, words, actions, habits, and character like? Amen. Because I determined a long time ago, I want to be someone who says, you know what, Mark? He's not a fake. Seriously. And it got serious when I started preaching too, because I am determined to never, I don't want to preach something I'm not living. My God, save me from that kind of fallacy and hypocrisy to preach something I'm not living. So you know what? When I picked up this microphone and a Bible, I had to decide within myself, I'm going to have to start living in joy. Because I believe in joy. I'm going to have to start living in peace. I'm going to have to start becoming an overcomer. Because the church, in the end, is overcoming and overcoming and overcoming. And if I know you can do it, why can't I too? We ought to get fired up about ourselves. To say, God can do it for them. He can do it for me too. Amen? So are you willing? I can't answer this for you. This is between you and God. Are you willing to change your thoughts? Words, actions, habits, and character in order to please the one that saved you. I don't know how long you've been walking with God. It might be a few years. It might be a few centuries. It might be a long time. It might be a short time. But he's still calling on his church to grow. You know why? He loves the goodness out of you. And when you're growing, I'm telling you what, you'll be the most satisfied in your life that you ever have been. If you're dissatisfied with your life, you need to check yourself. Am I growing? Because isn't it the absolute truth? When you're doing everything that God is calling you to do, it's the most fun of your entire life. I try to tell young people that as much as I can. It looks like rules, regulations, and burdens. But living for God, and I mean really living for God, not putting on a suit and tie and coming in on Sundays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. Really living for God is the best time I've ever had in my entire life. Amen? And so if we believe it for the young people, why won't we believe it for ourselves? Amen? Change, being changed and growing in God is the best time you could ever have. Finally, Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Let us never forget that this applies in maturity just as heavily as it applies to the new convert. Then he said to them all, who all? Them all. Us all. Whoever wants to be my disciple. Does anyone want to be his disciple tonight? You just signed up to deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow him. So the practical question, we're going to get real. Are you still doing stuff that you don't want to do? Are you still doing stuff you don't want to do? That's what denying yourself is. Am I missing it? Because in the beginning, it's coming to church, right? I'm going to come to church. I could be doing so much, you know. But then it's like, you know what? Church is actually pretty cool, right? You get free mints, and sometimes Sister Terry brings, you know, cupcakes and Cinnabons and all kinds of cool stuff. Not pizza and wings like our youth were talking about, but like back in the day. Meat and cheese, I bless the Lord, oh my soul. Glory. But are you still doing stuff that you don't want to do? That's what denying yourself and taking up your cross is. Well, it's easy to fall into a habit of walking with God as an apostolic, but yet still doing everything we want to do. And that is a comfortable lie. Amen? That does not bring forth growth. So my goodness, I pray in Jesus' name. I pray, God, you help convict us, Lord. Convict myself. Help me, Lord God, to look in the mirror of reality, in the mirror of your word. I pray, God, you make us uncomfortable. Make me uncomfortable, God, because I want to grow in you. I want to bear fruit. I want to be pleasing to you, God. There was none like you, Jesus. You brought me out of so much filth, and you've got great things ahead for this church. So I pray in Jesus' name. You love us. You chastise those who you love, Lord God. Direct us. Guide us, Lord God. Help us to grow in you in Jesus' name. Amen. Any comments or thoughts, feel free to just...